I thank the Lord for the messages I've been hearing in this meeting, especially thank the Lord that he let us have this meeting. We all needed it so much, and I just felt like the Lord would let us have the meeting, and he did, praise the Lord. We've had a lot of good services, and the message that Brother mentioned this morning was so good, too. And he says something about, he kind of loses his hunger here. That's what happens to me. And then I love to eat, so it's nice when you get home, you get hungry again. But we want to please the Lord in these things because he gives us a burden to pray for the meeting, and he just takes the hunger away. We want to talk about Moses. We want to talk a little bit about, we know, about consecration. And I want to, the ministers, there's several here, want you to be encouraged, if I believe by God's word, the message can encourage you to be faithful. You know, we start out young and we live many years and a lot of things happen to us. And like the song says, never give up. Many things happen to us. And, you know, it's like you're doing double duty when you're saved and sanctified. You got to take care of your own soul. And then the Lord gives you the extra job of being a minister, working with people. But, you know, it's so rewarding. It's so precious to kneel in prayer at the altar with the sisters and the young sisters. And all. It's just so rewarding. Even if you feel like you're not doing a whole lot, you know, it's just a whole lot. Even a little bit of service for the Lord is a whole lot. And it just makes you feel so good. You know, think about Susan Wesley. She prayed, Lord, would you please let my life count? And she had so many children that it seemed like her whole life was just taking care of these children. And she, I mean, I've forgotten now the number. Someone might know right off, but it was in the teens of children. But what? 17 or something, it was a lot. But John Wesley and Charles Wesley was some of her, two of her sons that became great evangelists. And her life was counted through that. And our life counts through different ways. And God sends us to do different things. But I was thinking about Moses. I'd like to start reading here in Exodus. You know, when God called Moses in the burning bush, you know, do you ever think about ministers, how they were called, what caused them to consecrate, what caused them to even do that? There's some working with the Spirit of God. First of all, you need to be saved and sanctified. When you have the Holy Ghost within you and you're sanctified, then God gives gifts in his church. And through the Holy Spirit working with your heart, he calls you to do different things. And we have to consecrate to that because the enemy is against us. He tries to bring thoughts to our mind and how can I do this? How can I do this? And how will it be? And how can I ever do this? It's too big of a job for me. And it is. It's too big of a job. That's what for ourselves, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. And you know, Moses, when the Lord started talking to Moses in the Exodus 3, and he began to, he saw the burning bush and, you know, it was just, God was just meeting him there. Has ever God met you in a powerful, powerful way? And yes, and he meets you and you know it was God. And the longer you live, you can look back and I can see this yellow cabin over here and I can see how I prayed for that cabin. It looked like, I won't go into the details, I want to keep to the message, but I see it, and I prayed for that cabin. It looked like everything was against me to get that cabin, to get a cabin here. I didn't have to have a new one, but I just felt like I needed one for our family. And God, I started going around singing, I have a cabin on the corner of Glory Land. You've heard that song. And I just was singing all the time, and I believed, and that cabin is on the corner. You know, when it was building, the Lord spoke to me and said, it's on the corner. I just can see so many things in my past life, how God led me. And I want us to realize how powerful it is to consecrate to God. When we consecrate to God, he will be with you and he will help you. You know, Moses, you know, the Lord talked to him and Moses said, he said, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame, in the third chapter of Exodus, a fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked and behold, the bush burned with fire. The bush was not consumed. This is a very strange thing. This bush is being burned up, but it doesn't get destroyed. And so he looks upon that and he says, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. You know, it's holy ground when God begins to talk to your soul in prayer about consecration. And you know, if God really wants you to do this and you're saved and you're sanctified, you cannot rebel on that. You might try to rebel. Well, you could rebel on it and end up losing your soul. But you know, really, you must consecrate. And I don't want to be too hard on saying that word about losing your soul. You may not lose your soul. I want to correct that. But you will go backwards. You could. It could possibly come to that point if you would not consecrate. I don't want to put too much fear on us, but I want us to realize that it's very serious when God calls us to do something that we consecrate to it and not rebel on it. And I know in my own life I had a struggle at first. And I wanted to do it, but I wanted to make sure. And then I had a struggle of finally coming to that point where I could consecrate. I remember years ago, if you'll let me tell some of the story. I don't want to preach about me, but I have to tell some stories, experiences, because I know my life better than yours. But Sister Marie Miles, I remember watching Sister Clark. She was up preaching behind the pulpit over at the old chapel. And I was pretty young, and God was dealing with me to consecrate to the ministry. And I thought, oh my, her dress is like to her ankles. And that's all I could look at, like her dresses are to her ankles. And oh my, I got a dress like that? I got to be like Sister Clark? And I said, oh, I need some help. So I went to the altar, and Sister Marie said to me, and I didn't even tell her I had a calling to the ministry. I just said, I can't do what Sister Clark does right now. I cannot do that. I cannot dress like that. And she says, oh, Sister Marcia, she said, comparing yourself among yourself, you're not wise. He said, you don't have to do what she's doing. You just have to measure up to the light that you have. And I said, well, I can do that. And she goes, yes, you're just under accusation. Just you get up and you be encouraged. Sister Marie Miles, she was so precious. And like the brother mentioned, there's other, you know, ministers that we think about when we're here. You know, we think about them all the time, different times. We think about them probably more when we're here. And the memories come back to us of so many good services. And we have them just as good here. I'm not saying that. But, you know, we just had some wonderful services over there. And I remember Brother Humphrey, and I remember Brother Leslie, and Brother Kimball and Brother Hargrave, you know, Brother Hargrave, he'd walk kind of slow to the pulpit, but he had his Bible under his arm. That's the way he did it. Something about the way he did it. But when he got there, he was a powerhouse for God. Oh, Brother Sammons, and just on and on we could go. But anyway, but they had to come to a point in their life sometime where they consecrated to God, or they never would have been those kind of people to us. They had to consecrate and be willing to do what the Lord wanted them to do. Moses, when God talked to Moses, he says, you're on holy ground. And he said, I want you to go. I want you to lead the children of Israel. He began to talk to Moses. And he says, come now, therefore, I will send you unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? You know, who am I? How can I do this? This is, you know, the enemy puts things like that in your mind. You can't possibly do that job for the Lord. You just can't do, you know what? You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. You can do what the Lord wants you to do, and you must do what the Lord wants you to do. And you know, he first said, and I thought, you know, what about us? What if we may think, well, I wasn't Moses, you know, no. But you know, we're real. We are leading the children of Israel. It's just a different group. Really, and think about it. We are all affecting the church of God. We are all leading, whether you're a minister or not, you're among us, you're part of us. What you do influences us. You got to be careful. We're all used of God. Sunday school teachers, wonderful Sunday school teachers. We have some wonderful teachers. And, you know, ministers with all different gifts, and they're all leading the church. It's not them, but it's the Holy Spirit working in them. But God's using human vessels. That's the way he planned it, to use human vessels. And so, you know, he told Moses, Moses said, who am I that I should go into Pharaoh? Would you not have been afraid to go to Pharaoh? I mean, I think I would have been. I mean, I think I really would have been. But you know, he said here, and he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And then he went on, I won't read all of it, but I want to go down here and a little bit further. And God, you know, he's still talking to Moses about everything. In the fourth chapter, Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me. They will not hearken to my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto you, unto thee. You know, he's got all these things in his mind. Who am I to do it? How am I going? You know, they won't believe me. And the Lord said unto him, what is in thy hand? And he said, a rod. Now, God did use signs there because it was a powerful thing to try to talk to Pharaoh. You know Pharaoh. And he said, cast it on the ground. Cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. Moses fled from before it. Then he put forth his hand, and it became leprous. Then he took the hand out of his jacket or whatever he had on, robe or whatever, and it became normal. And all these two signs. Then God said, I'll give you more signs. And we know, we won't go, I've got it all marked in the Bible there. You know, about just one after another. I mean, serpents, blood, frogs, lice, all these things. But the thought I'm trying to get at is the calling of Moses. How he kind of argued almost with the Lord. And you know, we don't want to argue with the Lord. Maybe I'm using the wrong word of argue, but it was kind of like, you know, I don't know, Lord, I can do this, you know. And so this is what we do sometimes in our minds. And then he told the Lord, Lord, I got another problem. I'm not eloquent. I have a stammering tongue. I can't talk very well. Now, how am I going to do this job? And the Lord said, who made man's mouth? And we think that too. Well, what am I going to say when I get up there? And I may not say it just right. Or however, well, who made your mouth? Don't you have enough faith in God that he can give you the right words to say? Are you going to still think, well, he doesn't want you to be eloquent. Not yourself. He wants to use you. He wants you to be his. He wants to use you. So he said, but I'm not eloquent. And he said, who made your mouth? And who makes the dumb or the deaf, the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and I will teach thee what thou shalt say. And then he goes on, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. I've often thought about that. God could have healed Moses, but he told, you know, you're going to depend on your brother. Maybe he would have healed him if he hadn't been arguing about that. I don't know. Maybe argue is the wrong word, but asking the Lord back and forth. But, you know, I just want to bring that little thought about Moses. There's a lot more about that, but I want to go over to Samuel now. You know, Samuel in the third chapter, remember the young boy Samuel that was given to the Lord, and he was in the temple with Eli, and God was calling him. Now, to consecrate to God, we got to know when God calls us. If we don't have a solid foundation that we know we're called, many things can try to discourage us. So you have to know, just like you know you're saved. If someone would come up to you and say, "You're not saved," and you know you're saved, what would you say? "Well, you know what? You can tell me all day that I'm not saved, but, you know, it's not true. I am saved, and I know I'm saved. You'll never change my mind." Or they could say, "You're not sanctified." Well, you may think I'm not, but that doesn't change it. I am sanctified. I know I'm sanctified. They could say, "Well, you don't really have a calling from God." Well, that's what you think, but I know I do, because God gave it to me. So see, you've got to have a made-up consecration to God that you know who you are. You've got to know you're saved. We're never going to get much where with working for the Lord if we don't know we're saved, if we don't know we're sanctified, if we don't know we have a calling. We have to know that God definitely called us. If you definitely know, you can go forward in whatever he tells you to do. I know years ago, the Lord called me to teach the children's meeting. And I'll tell you, Sister Connie works in there, and I know it's a job for the Lord. And Lord blesses her. But you know, and I'm just bringing these things out, not to glorify us, but how God works with us. I remember sitting in a chapel, and I did the children's meeting over in Guthrie for about 30 years. Just last few years of getting older, I felt like some of the young people should step up to some of these jobs. I mean, dear ones, we really do. We need to let the Lord, so send I you. God wants to send you in some of these places. And during the camp meeting, you know, I mean, I was a minister, but I wanted to prefer others during the meeting most time anyway. So unless there was some people weren't there, something to fill in. So I needed to work for the Lord, and so I wanted a job. But, you know, I was sitting in the old chapel, and they came in. They said, "Can someone teach the children? There's no teacher for the children." Now, this happened, I think, quite a bit. And one day I was sitting there, and they said, "Who can teach the children?" And I thought, well, you know, someone ought to be ready to teach those children. They should have, you know, papers for them, a Bible story, everything lined up, ready to go, and should be in there. And the Lord said, "Yes, it's you." And I said, "Me? Are you sure? I wanted to be in the afternoon service, Lord." "Well, you'll be in the afternoon service, but you're going to be over there." I said, "Well, Lord, if this is you and you really want me to do this, then you show me somehow." And I was praying, and the preacher went on to preach, and I was just praying and praying. It was someone else got up, went out to, and the Lord, I opened to the children's meeting. I'll never forget it. I opened to that song, and the tears, the Holy Spirit just went over me. I can't explain it. It just went over me, and I began to cry there, you know, and I just, "Lord, it's you. It's really you. You want me to do this job." You know, this is what we got to know when we're called of God. And you know, I have so many precious memories of that when I taught the children. And you know, one time we were teaching the children and about hell, and one little girl got so scared she had to get out. She says, "Oh, I don't want to go see my mommy." And I said, "Okay, okay." I guess I got too dramatic with that about hell. But you know, one little boy one time we forgot our flannel graph, you know, and I said, "Well, children, Sister Marcia forgot her flannel graph today." I says, "But you know, we can just have the story anyway. It's okay." And one little boy says, "Just use your imagination." I thought it was so sweet. I never forgot. There's just some things I thought I'd never forgot. And you know, it was such a blessing to me. And you know, when we do things for the Lord, there's not too small of a job to do, dear ones. And they're not, you know, we don't really have to look at it like that, like, "Oh, that's a small job, teaching the children." You know, Jesus said, "Blessed are the children, for the children to come unto me. Don't turn them away," you know. And the children, now that they are married and have children of their own that I taught, you know, and the church goes on, you know. And so, praise God, let's open our heart. Is God talking to you? Does he have something he wants you to do? Are you willing for him to send you, whatever it is? We're not all the same. We don't all have the same callings. But what, and some of us can't always do the same things. It's not our capability. It's not our personality. It's not our talents. But we all have a talent. Now, I love to sing, and there's some songs I can sing, okay. but I don't really have the calling of singing. Like some have a voice that God gave them, a talent that they sing beautiful, you know. And when the anointing and the Holy Spirit is on that, it's so wonderful when it works in our church and everybody is in their place, you know. And everybody, God said, I will set the members in the body as it pleases him. Because he knows who we can reach. There's some people we can reach, and maybe there's another minister that they can reach better. But we're all different personalities in the church, so God needs all different variety of ministers to feed those different people. Like we heard, people need to be fed. They need to be encouraged. And so anyway, Samuel was, the Lord was calling Samuel, but he didn't know at first it was same God. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I," in the third chapter of 1 Samuel. And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not, lie down again." Then the Lord called him yet again. Samuel rose up, and he said, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." So he went back to Eli and said, "You called me." He said, "No, it wasn't me." So Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. We need to know the Lord. We need to know how the Lord works with us. We need to know how he reveals himself to us. We must know these things. This is how God blesses the church, for us to know. We need to know. Sometimes we have to wait for our ministry. We have to wait for the right hour. And we need to try. And really, ministers, I know you struggle with this, because I struggle with it. Lord, I want to obey you, but I want to be at the right time. I want to be, you know, in my place. And, oh, God, help us to be willing to be sent, but be sent by God's timing. And, you know, God has a certain time. There are certain reasons. And so the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou dost call me." Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. He said, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." What we're trying to get there is know when the Lord is calling you. We need to hear God's voice and respond. Now, there's, you know, hearing and responding. I remember when we left Michigan, I told my husband, we were isolated pretty much in Michigan, and I just felt really, it was time to move, and I felt like the Lord was directing us to Oklahoma, and I know positively he was, and we've been here since it was Christmas of 79, we moved to Oklahoma. But the thought I wanted to bring out is you got to know when God's calling you and directing you, and what he wants you to do. And I remember Tammy was about 6 years old, and Jody was probably about four, and Rhonda was almost 2 years old. And we had a U-Haul, and back then we had no cell phones. I didn't have no walkie-talkie. I was driving the car with the baby, Rhonda. We had no seat belts for her. She was just laying on the front seat. But the thought is, you know, we were going into a land that we didn't know. We were going to people that we didn't know. But we were willing, like I said, we're willing to consecrate to that. And we're just bringing this not to glorify me, but to bring out the thought is be willing to go where God sends you. It's very important that you live in the right place, that you're in the right place. And sometimes God will call ministers to leave one place to be a pastor and go somewhere else. I understand all these workings that God works with us. And we have to know when God is calling us and respond. And I remember just thinking that now that I look back and the years has passed on, and you know my family, and our girls are grown and they're married, and two of our girls have Oklahoma men and one has a Missouri man, wonderful Christians. I thank God. I'm praising God. I'm not lifting up myself in this, but I'm trying to say if I hadn't consecrated or my husband wasn't willing to come to Oklahoma, we may have lost our family. I don't know what had happened to us. But it's when God says move, you better move. If God tells you to stay, you better stay. You know, I hope I can just pray for me that I say everything right, because I want to make sure. But, you know, like years ago, I'm talking about years ago, people that are dead and gone, meaning well. I'll bring it out this. They're meaning well. But there was a lot of ministers at Guthrie. And I remember one said to me, you know, why don't you go somewhere else? And I said, well, I would be willing to go somewhere else if God told me to. But, you know, I mean, sometimes meaning, you know, good saints that mean well can try to, it can almost discourage you because they feel, you know, we have enough. Why don't you just go somewhere else? But, you know, I hope that's okay saying that because I believe they're saved and I believe they went to heaven. But I'm just saying, is ministers, you know, you have things said to you sometimes. I'm trying to encourage you to keep on. Like the song said, never give up. Because God does love you and God appreciates you and he wants you to be faithful to the very end. We sing a song sometimes. I thought maybe we could sing. I really appreciate Brother Michael the other day. So did my husband. He preached and he sang songs with his whole message. And I'm not going to do quite like that, Brother Michael. But I would like to sing a verse of 408. Because it's talking about being faithful. And it says 408. Let's read, let's see, I want the part that says not to hurt God's cause. The second verse, Janine, could you lead that? Into a calling as a minister, especially, or a Sunday school teacher, any kind of calling or leading in the church, do you know it's very serious that you ask God to keep your soul, that you would never shame his cause? Because when a minister falls, it hurts so many people. And you may think your life doesn't count. It counts. It does count, and you do influence people. And even if you're not a minister, you need to not shame his cause and sinful live. Keep my soul, Lord. It says, God of, it also says, leave me not alone, my Father. Do preserve my soul each day. Let not Satan ever harm me. Keep me to the end, I pray. Appreciate Sister Clay the other day. Preaching about love. We heard love a lot yesterday. It was so precious. Oh, God, I tell God, help me to have a sweet spirit. Fill me with the love of God. Because, you know, unless it comes across that way, we're not going to do the good that God wants to use with us. We must have the love of God. And we can still preach strong messages. We can still preach God's word. But it must come through love. And love. And I like to read over in 1 Samuel 16, 6. You know, I was just thinking sometime, you know, when they went to choose David, you know, God, you know, little David at first there, you know, he was a keeper of the sheep and his father had him out there. Now, they were having a sacrifice and they were having a, if you read about that, they were having a big dinner. But David wasn't really even invited to the table at first. He was out there taking care of the sheep. He was like not important to them. That's what they thought. They surely did not think that he was the one that God had called. But you know what it says here in the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel, in the 6th verse, and it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. You know, it must have been because God said he must have been a very tall man. Maybe his stature, he looked like a very fine man, very tall. And surely this is the son of Jesse that God is going to call to be the next king. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. We heard some this morning about the heart. God looks on the heart. He looks on your heart. He knows what you're capable of doing. He knows the real you. It doesn't mean that we all have made some mistakes, but still he looks down into our heart. And he sees if we really, really love God. You know, he really sees that, and he really knows how to work with that. And so when God begins to call us, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And then all these other brothers went by, and then Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? He said, there remaineth yet the youngest. Behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and with of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, appoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Praise God. David was the next king. He was chosen by God. But yet, they thought he was just a little boy and he was out taking care of the sheep. And it was, I think, around 20 years before he actually became king. But you know, the thing was, God anointed him that very day. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. This is what we need among the saints. We need the Spirit of the Lord to come upon us, to come upon the ministers. I used to think that the Spirit of God is in us. And I used to think that, well, you know, you're gonna get up to preach and the Spirit of the Lord is gonna come down upon you. And the Lord said, it's in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. The Spirit of the Lord is in every one of us that's sanctified. And this, we need the Holy Spirit to work among us. And it is working among us. Glory to God. I mean, this meeting has been precious. And the Lord just blessed us so much because there's been sacrifice. And like you said, of the dining hall and all the sacrifices went into it. And all the different things. And then we don't want to talk about it, but you know what's going on. But the Lord is allowing us, he blessing us because we have faith in God and we're being brave and we're by his grace, I'm not saying in our own self, but we're being brave to go forward and trust in God and he's going to take care of us. And the song we heard the other night, that nothing can touch me, that was so precious. And all the singing and oh, I've just been reveling in all this. But God wants to send you, and if you are a minister today, I mean, I don't even know exactly, but why exactly I'm saying this, but I just want to encourage you. I just believe you need some encouragement. Is that all right? I know I need some. You know, the sister talked about love yesterday. If we can really love one another, appreciate one another, do you know what power there is in unity? If we have unity and we come and the sweet Spirit of God is working among us And the unity's there, and God will work powerfully with that. And it will be just so precious and so wonderful. Oh, and God is doing that with us. Praise God. So, you know, the Lord wants to, he wants us not only, and it's not just being called to the ministry. It could be called to teach the children. It could be called to teach a Sunday school class. It could be called to work like they did, work on the dining hall. There was many men and women that helped with that, hours and hours of tired out and all. And I appreciate them, and I appreciate them because, you know, I really do, because this is what the Lord has blessed us with. Oh, you know, the Lord's blessed us with this tabernacle, too, of all the blessings that God has given us. But, you know, if we had all this and we didn't have the Spirit of God, then, but we do have the Spirit of God. You know, it came right over here with us. It's right here with us because it's in us. It's not in the building. It is in us. Praise God. Oh, I thank the Lord for all these scriptures. I just thank the Lord that he loves us. He wants to help us. He wants us to consecrate to him. I know people struggle with this sometimes. They struggle with different things. They struggle with not praying enough, not reading their Bible enough. I'll tell you one little secret that has helped me is when you first open your eyes, start praying. Because you know, lots of times you're kind of coming through a lull. You've been sleeping and you got to wake up. You know, it's just like if you jump up real fast, you'll get dizzy. I mean, you've been in slumber, you've been unconscious, and you're waking up. So lay there a few minutes and pray. And say, God, thank you that I'm waking up. I didn't die last night, right? Thankful, Lord, that you give me a good sleep. And I don't know what's going to happen today, but Lord, just be with me. I just thank you, God, that you're my God, and I love you, and I want to worship you today. I want to be with you. And you may have to, some of the men have to go to work real fast, and the women have to help them or whatever. Or sometimes my husband has things to do right away, and we got to get up and get going right away. But we can pray a few minutes there and say, Lord, as soon as I get a chance, I want to spend some more time praying and reading my Bible. But don't let the devil take advantage of you in this. You can do this. You can consecrate to pray more. Consecrate to read more. Praise the Lord. So 2 Timothy 2, I want to read a little bit here. You know, the Lord loves us and he wants to help us to be all what he wants us to be. And he wants us to be willing. If someone gets 2 Timothy 2, here I go. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Can you be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus? And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We need to be able to endure some things. I remember what Brother Paul was saying when he was talking the other day. He says, someone came to him and said, work out this problem. And he said, you know, are you saved? Are you sanctified? Then you work out your problem. It sounded like he was a tough, strong pastor there, right? But, you know, sometimes that we can do that. We can really do that. We can be strong. And we can be strong. And we can be strong in the Lord, not in ourselves, but in the Lord we can be strong. I love to be strong, but I want to be strong in the Lord. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There's a song that says, wounded soldier, pick up your mantle. You know, I just wonder today if there's some wounded soldiers. You've been a soldier for the Lord for a long time, and you're getting a little weary. You know what? The Lord is able to help you to be a strong. You can go to him in prayer and he can just lift you right up. And you think, well, can I keep going? Can I keep doing this? By the grace of God. By the grace of God, you can do this. Praise the Lord. Endure hardness. In the 7th verse, it says, I want to get that. I have fought, that's 4th chapter and 7th verse. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. This is Paul. Remember what all happened to Paul? He was a shipwreck. He picked up a snake. It was poisonous. It bit him. And then God healed him. He was beaten with many stripes. 40 stripes save one. He was treated terrible. He suffered many things. But he kept on going on. Like the song says, never give up. He kept on, and he was at the end. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Lord willing, praise God. That's what I want to do. I want to be at the very end of my dying time to say, Lord, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my course. I'm ready to be offered up. You know, it says here, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You know, there's a crown of righteousness coming up for us, saints. Crown of righteousness. Praise the Lord. You believe it. You know, if we could say anything to you, I would say this. If the Lord is calling you for something and you think you can't do it, consecrate to it and you'll find out that you can't. And guess what else you'll find out? You'll look back over and you say, Lord, I'm so glad you did that. I'm so glad you called me to do that. I didn't think I could do it. I might not even thought I wanted to do it. But after I did it and I got such a blessing out of it, I'm so glad that I did that for you, Lord. You know, at the end of your life when you're saved, you're going to look back and say, so glad that I didn't go into the world and lose my soul. I'm so glad that I was willing to lay aside the world and the pleasures of the world. Haven't you been a wonderful life living for God? Hasn't it just been such... Oh, I mean, we sing that song, if I had 10,000 lives, I'd give them all to thee. That's a pretty big statement. But we only have one. Let us do the very best we can. And even at our very best, we feel like, oh, we could have done better. But you know, God even looks at that and understands. He says he'll say, well done. There's a little song that says, he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come and hear it. Oh, praise God. Oh, it's wonderful. Be faithful to the Lord. Ephesians 4:1 says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through you all and through all and in you all. Praise God. I just thank the Lord for all these scriptures. In Romans 12:1, it says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I want to sing that. I'm singing it, but I'm going to read this little song before I sit down. So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone. So send I you to leave your life's ambition, to die to dear desire, self-will resign, to labor long and love where men revile you. So send I you to lose your life and mine. So send I you to hearts made hard by hatred, to eyes made blind because they will not see. So send I you to taste of Calvary. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Pray for me. God bless you with these thoughts.